turn to read God's word, and our reading this morning is from the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges and chapter 6. And we're reading verses 1 through 24. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midians came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry, or I will wait until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. And to this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Amen. And may God bless to us that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, turning this time to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And we're singing at verse 23. We have over these past few weeks been confronted with tremendous storms and such as sea. And we take these words and we see a way in which those who go down to the seas are in fear, but the way in which the Lord turns that fear into peace. Psalm 107 at 23. Who go to sea in ships and in great waters trading be. Within the deep these men God's works and great and his great wonders see. For he commands and forth in haste the stormy tempest flies, which makes the sea with rolling wakes aloft to swell and rise. They mount to heaven, then to the depths they do go down again. Their soul doth faint and melt away with trouble and with pain. They reel and stagger like one drunk, at their wit's end they be. Then they to God in trouble cry, who them from straits doth free. Psalm 107, 23 to 28, who go to sea in ships. Would you turn with me to the portion we read there, to Joshua chapter 6. But I want to read the last few verses from 33 now through to 40 of that same chapter. We've moved on almost a year from the first reading and verses 1 through 24. And we now come to a testing for Gideon of all that he's experienced from the hand of the Lord. Let's read then from 6 at verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer were gathered after him. And he sent messengers through all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, to Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. God said, and Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. I want us to think this morning of the God who does the unexpected. And that's a theme that keeps on running through this chapter, this experience of Gideon, the servant of the Lord. There are people in our Bible and we have in our minds that are so often associated with one thing, and we can learn from remembering that one thing. Last week we were taking the words that Hosea spoke to his people, break up your fallow ground, a kind of phrase that sticks with us once we've heard it. And the meaning of it is immediately unpacked for us. It's time to put right things that have been neglected. And just the same way as we had that, we so also have Lot's wife. And the way in which she turned back, and the way she's a warning to us not to do that, but to commit ourselves fully to the Lord. There's Noah and his ark, and the deliverance that he had from God for himself and the animals the Lord selected. And so we come to Gideon. He's not well known by us, perhaps, as these others we've quoted, but if we do know him at all, we always associate him as Gideon and his fleece. We may think that he's noble and very commendable, that he's bold and he's strong in the way in which he put that fleece out. But that is an indication of his weakness rather than his strength. What is faith? What is it to trust God? It is simply to take God at his word, resting on what he has said and on the person and the character of our God who has spoken. He is utterly reliable. There is no change with him. There's no fluctuation in anything that he has said. Therefore, we can rely upon him totally and completely. Take him at his word. Even although nothing else round about us points to his fulfillment, we have to take him at his word. That's what faith is in its essence. And that was a problem for Gideon. He stands up to the enemy. He confronts the sins of the people. He calls them to arms. Yet at the very end, he lacks the confidence to be sure that he's on the right track. And he does what we read of there just at the very end of the chapter. He lays out this fleece twice to get the assurance of the Lord that what he's doing is the Lord's way. It's not wrong. It's just weak in his faith. So I want us this morning to look at this whole episode that leads up to that event and experience, and to see what we can get out of it for ourselves. And the very first thing I want us to take, as we've said, this is the God of the unexpected, we have in the first 6 verses of chapter 6. First of all, we have here the unexpected intervention of God. The book of Judges goes in cycles with all the different judges coming to prominence by way of deliverance. There's God's people, they sin, they go into service, they suffer in service, they call out to the Lord for deliverance. God gives them deliverance, and then they quickly forget about what the Lord has done, and a period of silence comes until the cycle is repeated again and again. It takes 40 years for many of these cycles or so, generation or so, and they start all over again. How difficult it is. How difficult it is to learn a spiritual lesson. To be through that kind of an experience, hard and traumatic as it was for them, and yet for them to so soon forget it and be right back at the start at square one. We might think it's an amazing thing for them, but we can also look at ourselves and we see it repeated with ourselves also. Because we can think of some ways in which the Lord has been good to us. And yet how quickly, and it's amazing sometimes just how quickly, we can lay that to one side and we can be off doing something totally irresponsible. The intervention of God, totally unexpected. Here we have it then. They planted crops, they tended the crops, they harvested in hope. But every time when it came to the harvest time, the Midianites invaded. They kept huge crops, and they kept huge animals, and they took the animals with them, and they harvested the crops, and they allowed the animals to roam, and they absolutely stripped the whole of the countryside bare, impoverished. For 7 years, we're told in verse 1, this happened, year after year. And Gideon and his people were getting hungry, were getting poor, were getting tired of it happening each year. And so we find them trying to hide things in the caves. They tried to hide things, food, stocks, just until the Midianites passed. The Lord brought these people low. The Lord brought them low year after year. Because the Lord was speaking to them. The very first verses, the very first phrase in the first verse, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord is not going to leave it at that, but he's going to use whatever means will work to speak to them and address them in the same way as he speaks to ourselves. He uses a whole variety of ways to get our attention. Sometimes we can dismiss God's working in our lives. We say to ourselves, well, if there's a spiritual problem, then we expect a spiritual answer. We expect something come wrapped up that we can recognize as a spiritual counsel or challenge to ourselves. But sometimes the Lord does the unexpected. Sometimes the Lord works in ways that are quite surprising to get our attention. And that's what happened here. They were brought low time after time by the Midianites. And it was only after 7 years of repetition, then they called upon the Lord. Verse 7. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. There are times when the only way that we will listen to what God is saying, there are times that the only way in which we are teachable and biddable is when our backs are against the wall. When our hands are empty. When we are alone and we've got no hope in the world. And all of our circumstances, fears and doubts grab hold of the strings of our hearts and pull them hard. That's the way sometimes the Lord works. Totally unexpectedly. Totally surprisingly, with them, to get their attention because of the problem he had with them. And the same with ourselves still today. Brought low in different ways to face a spiritual problem. Today we might be well settled in our ease. Things might be going relatively easy for us. Things might be going just fine and we don't realize we've got a problem. We might think all is well. Until suddenly, the Lord in a most unexpected way intervenes and breaks into your life or into mine. And he puts his finger on a problem we've got. So that's the first thing we have here. The unexpected intervention of God to their and to our lives. But if that's the first thing that surprises us, the second thing is just as amazing. We have not only the unexpected intervention, but we've also got here the unexpected answer. We are told there that they cried to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord because for 7 years their harvests have been taken from under their nose. For 7 years everything they've grown and labored over has been robbed and taken from them. For 7 years they've been looking for the grain just to keep them going through the winter time. 7 years. At the end of it, they've cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard. But what an unexpected answer the Lord gives them. They were, we can see their hopes and expectations. They needed a leader. They needed someone to stand up to the Midianites. They needed someone to be strong and bold and fight and put them down. But what does the Lord do? The unexpected answer is given in verse 8. Then the Lord sent a prophet. If you've got a burst pipe, you send for a plumber. If you want a person to fight for you, you get a preacher. The unexpected answer they had to their prayer. And this prophet comes and he rehearses their history. He reminds them of what God has done for them. He tells them, yes, I am the God that brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of so many troubles and problems. Out of everyone that oppressed you. I drave out all that came before you in the land. I told you I am your God. I told you not to fear them. These are the things that the prophet rehearses and reminds them of. And at the end he comes and he says, yes, but you did not obey my voice. The unexpected answer of the prophet and the way in which he speaks with them. Why does the Lord do this to them? Why is it that sometimes the Lord does something similar to ourselves? We're looking for, we've got a problem, and we can, in our own mind, we can think of the way the deliverance and the answer should come. We think we've got it taped. And the Lord brings something totally surprising into our lives. We would never have dreamt of it, never have thought of it, never have conceived of it. And yet that's the answer God gives us to our prayers. And we, with them, have got to answer the question, why? Why? The answer is quite simple, really. These people needed deliverance. These people needed someone to lead them and to bring them out of the hand of the Midianites. These people needed someone to fight for them, but they needed something a lot more than that. They needed to understand why it was all happening. They needed to understand why all these things came upon them for all of these years. And that's why they were sent a preacher to explain what was going on in their lives. Sometimes we think we understand the life we're living. Sometimes we think we've got it all taped. We've got it measured. We know what's happening to us. We can read it with a degree of understanding. Sometimes that's the way we think. But sometimes then the Lord breaks in and surprises us with the answer he gives us. Put verse 10 and verse 1 together. You have not obeyed my voice. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why then are the Midianites coming? The answer is they are staring you in the face. The answers may not be entirely what we would expect. Sometimes the answers that God gives us we can barely make sense of. We're in a tight situation. We want out from under. We're looking for some, Lord, we're looking for some kind of relief. Lord, we've been living like this for 7 years with the Midianites chasing us. Lord, send us deliverance. And it doesn't happen. And we need to listen and to understand what God is saying to us. We need to read our lives, not according to just simply a human perspective or a human point of view, but we need to read our lives from a spiritual point of view. We need to let the light of our Bibles come into the path that we walk. We need to have insight and understanding from God over why we are where we are and why we're going through the things that we're going through. We need to have that understanding, and it's far more important than the things we think are pressing upon us, like deliverance from the Midianites, like safety, like Oh Lord, just some relief from where we are. We think these are the things that are pressing us. But the Lord sees something far, far more important. Just think of it in another way, on the same answer, the unexpected answer. Think of what happened like this. What if the Lord were to send immediate relief and deliverance? What if the Lord were to send immediately a warrior to fight against the Midianites? What if that's what would happen to them? What if they would never, ever, ever understand why they were there in the first place? And they would never appreciate, as they ought to appreciate, the great things that God had done for them. They needed to be taught and to have understanding so that they might appreciate what God has done for them. It might not look like it, but this is the God's kindness in dealing with them, teaching them, giving them a discovery about themselves, looking at themselves through a different window, through God's word, through a sermon, through teaching, through experience, through something with a spiritual perspective about it. Giving them wisdom before he gives them deliverance. So often that other approach is what society today looks for. Everything's got to be immediate. Everything's got to be instant. If you're in trouble, I want out of it, and I want out of it now. If I've got a problem, I want a solution to it now. That's the way people today think. And God puts his hand upon our life and stops us in our tracks, and he says, understand why it's happening. The unexpected answer from the Lord. So there we have the unexpected intervention, the unexpected answer. But there's something else we have here. There's the unexpected sermon. Like we said, this prophet came and he recited the history and God's dealings with them. And then he finished off by speaking about their behavior in relation to God. He says, but you have not obeyed my voice. And you can almost fill in the next sentence. You can almost put it in yourself. Therefore, this is what God is going to do for you. There's that condemnation, there's that judgment that we almost expect to flow from the pen or from the words of the service of the preacher. We expect it. We find when we go to other places and to other dealings of God with his people that that's exactly what happens. The people aren't listening. God speaks. They are slow to learn. They don't abandon what they're doing, therefore God comes and he brings judgment upon them. God can use our different providences, different people, different circumstances to give us a wake-up call. But sometimes we don't listen. And when we're not listening, God comes and he says, yes, this is what I'm going to do for you. But not here. There is an unexpected end to the sermon. When you go from verse 10 to verse 11, what happens? And there came an angel of the Lord. An angel came and spoke to Gideon that he was going to be the deliverer. And surely we have here the grace and the mercy of God. We can make our own judgment of our own behavior. We're able to do that at least. We can make our own judgment of the consequences that we think might follow the way we've lived. And there's a certain inevitability, there's a certain logical connection and consequence that we can work out for ourselves. Because of our lifestyle, this is God's judgment upon me. We can all come to that conclusion. But sometimes we find God with an unexpected end to the sermon. The doom and the darkness that we might have expected is shattered by the initiative of God's grace. Go back and read, in the light of what I've just said, go back and read Ephesians chapter 2. And there in chapter 2, Paul is writing and he's describing all humanity. Where are we? And it's important that we start at the right place. If we never start at the right place, we'll never get to the right end. And so Paul is determined to tell us where we are. And he says, where is man? He is like this. He's in darkness. He's underneath the condemnation of God. This is where man is today. He is dead in his sins. He's helpless. He's hopeless. He's underneath the wrath of God. All of the arguments that Paul sets out, leading in one direction only. And then, as you go through that second chapter of Ephesians, you come across one little word. And that changes the whole theme and direction of the chapter. And it's that little word, but God. But God has done this. The unexpected end to the sermon, to the book, to the chapter, to their experience. Against that dark canvas, God's grace breaks in and is all the brighter and glorious. But God, He's the one who brings hope where there is none. He's the one that brings life when we're dead underneath His wrath. He's the one that brings deliverance when we cannot find it for ourselves. He's the one that brings pardon and peace when we don't have it, and when we know we don't have it, and when we cannot find it ourselves. The God of the unexpected. So what else? Not only the unexpected sermon, but we then find the unexpected promise. Gideon was given a promise. Gideon was told by this angel. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. A promise that is so welcome and so precious. Meeting him at the very point of his need, deep down in his soul. What an encouragement that would have been to Gideon. But yet Gideon had a problem. His faith was weak. Just the same as we ourselves. Here is what God has said. And it's great. It's precious. But we put it side by side with where we are and what's going on round about us. And sometimes the doubts come creeping in right away. What was it we find in Gideon? Yes, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon then said, if the Lord be with us, why is all this happening to us? Where are His miracles if God is with us? If God has brought us out of Egypt, How has the Lord forsaken us? Why are they in the hands of the Midianites? All of these doubts came tumbling out of his mind. Where's the evidence of this promise? Gideon puts up all of these arguments. Gideon puts up all of these circumstances. But there is no answer. At least there is only one answer. The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Having said it all, we come back to verse 16. Yes, he started with it. And now he's going to finish with it. He's not changing. He's not moving. He's simply repeating it again for Gideon's benefit. The Lord said to him, surely, yes, I will be with you. And you shall smite the Midianites as one man. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't change. He doesn't qualify it in the slightest. What God has said, he repeats despite everything that Gideon has put out before him. Do we not recall and remember the same way in which Moses did this? God was calling Moses to be the leader of God's people as he was calling Gideon. And Moses kept on putting out different arguments and different arguments and different arguments. And he eventually says, Lord, send someone else. But the Lord did not back off. The Lord did not change. The Lord did not amend what he was saying or wanting to do with Moses. He didn't do it with Gideon either. Here he is repeating and repeating the promise, giving it with assurance. It had stood the test in Moses' day. It stood the test in Joshua's day when Moses was no longer with them. The promise was given and it was the same promise given then. I am with you. In the days of Isaiah 41 verse 10, the Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. Time after time after time, no matter how different and varied the circumstances might be for any one of God's people or the leaders of God's people, no matter how different it might be in your life and mine, this is the one promise that he gives that will stand the test of wherever we are. I am with you. And that is enough. We're equipped to face, to cope, to overcome whatever might be in line for us. We might not be able to explain everything that's going to come our way. We might not be able to fill in all the details. But the one thing we can say is that it's essential. And the thing that is essential we've got. God is with us. That unexpected promise. So yes, here is Gideon and the promise has been given to him. But he's wondering, yes, it's the promise. But is it the Lord's promise? Is this the Lord speaking? And he sets out this test, as it were. He puts the sacrifice of the kid that he's dressed, he puts the bread that he's put in the basket, he puts it out on a rock, and he asks the angel of the Lord to touch it with this staff in his hand. And when he does, it's consumed and burnt up. Well, surely that's a great sign. Surely that's a confirmation that indeed this is the God Almighty that has spoken to him. But what happens? He's only afraid yet more. He wants assurance. But when assurance comes, it terrifies him. He's afraid rather than assured. But yet that simple promise is all that we need. No matter where we are or what we have to face, the fullness of God's character and all of God's resources deployed and made available for every one of his people wherever we might be. What an unexpected promise that is. Rich and full, awe-inspiring, mind-bending, touching our soul and reaching our hearts. That unexpected, full, rich promise the Lord gave to Gideon, and the Lord repeats and gives to his people still. Fear not, I am with you. So yes, there is Gideon. He had to go and he had to pull down the temple of Baal, because you cannot have the worship of God and the worship of Baal coexisting together. The New Testament says you can either serve God or mammon, but you can't serve both. So there is Gideon, and he's told to go and pull down that temple of Baal and to demonstrate to others in his nation, family and people that he is now serving the living and the true God. So all of that was packed into the experience that he's had. And I want now, just before we close, to move forward a year. The one last thought I want to have from this chapter and experience is the unexpected outcome. That's what we have in a reading there from verse 33 to 40. We moved on a year. All of these amazing experiences that Gideon has had, they're here in his mind, they are powerful in his experience, and it comes to the harvest time. And the harvest time is when the Midianites appear. So what do we find Gideon doing? There's a new twist to things this eighth year. Instead of just simply being there as a doormat for the Midianites to walk all over, we find that Gideon summons the nation and the people to fight against them. And here he is as a leader. But so often you find that the blessings and the power of God, the power of God runs in a human challenge, in a human channel. And we find the weakness of Gideon coming out. He's looking for assurance. Even although he's had these amazing experiences just the year before, he's hesitant. He's not unbelieving. He's just hesitant. And he wants a clear demonstration of God's power. The unexpected outcome. We can describe it like that. We may be indeed like Gideon. We might be weak in our faith from time to time. Remember what the man said when he brought his son, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Sometimes we are just like that. But the Lord did not reject Gideon. And the Lord does not reject those with that weak faith also. But the Lord is patient in dealing with us. And the Lord stoops down to encourage his people. He stoops down to bolster that which is fragile, to strengthen that which is weak. There are times when the Lord deals with us as he dealt with Gideon in these unexpected of ways. Amazing things that came into his life. When the Lord deals with Gideon, and the Lord deals with us in similar vein, the way we can describe it is best given to us by the book of Psalms itself. "This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes." When any believer sets out on the path of trusting and obeying the Lord, so often we can find along that path that we're weak, we face challenges, we've got to engage in battle with an enemy that is times greater than ourselves. And at that time of weakness, at that time when we can be filled with doubts and fears perhaps, sometimes at that time, The Lord comes with that tenderness and with that patience in dealing with us as he dealt with Gideon, to encourage and to strengthen, and so often simply to repeat what he has spoken to us before. I am with you, Gideon. And he laid out all these arguments. And the Lord just simply said at the end, I am with you. And it's the same with ourselves also. The Lord speaks to his people and he says the same thing. And we can be so flustered, we can be so thrown, we can put out so many arguments just like he did. And having said everything we have to say, the Lord speaks again with patience and grace to strengthen us, to encourage us. And he says the same thing. I am with you. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, indeed we bless thee for the riches of thy word and the experiences of thy people it contains. For the way in which we have there situations we can identify with ourselves and see a reflection of where we are ourselves. And as thou didst in times past encourage and strengthen others in the Christian family and along the Christian path, so thou art the God who changes not. And thou dost deal with thy people still today in a similar way. O Lord our God, give us that faith and help us to trust in thee all the more so, to rely upon what thou hast said. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 37 and at verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Picking up the echo of the Midianites being repulsed. Delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit. Him trust it bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display. And he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way success in sin doth get. 37, 3 through 7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit,